90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Streaming online 24/7 at kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello, and welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, are you ready for some football? Kansas City Chiefs open up tonight at the New England World Championship Patriots, so we're going to see how that game goes. We hope our boys in blue can, hope our boys from the blue state can definitely get there and get that W and not come out with the L. So, but today our host, our guest is Farmer Theo from Cornerstones of Care. Good morning, Farmer Theo, and welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning. Thank you, and thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Cornerstones of Care is?
Yeah, definitely. So Cornerstones of Care has been in Kansas City, or in the Kansas City community, for a very long time now, but recently we've had a bunch of nonprofits, Gillis, Ozanam, Spofford, Marillac, all of these different groups that have been serving youth and families and have come together under the Cornerstones of Care flag. So Cornerstones of Care now is this this grouping of efforts, programs, and nonprofits throughout Kansas City and the surrounding regions. I mean, we're serving children and families all through Missouri, Kansas, from the farm fields to the skyscrapers. And the critical mission and vision of Cornerstones of Care is just to provide programming and services that help improve the security, safety, well-being, and health of youth and families wherever there is need, wherever and however we can.
I know the great work that you do. I once did foster care, and I know the need is so huge. But there's not a lot of people out there who actually take on that burden. But in addition to that, you all do other great work. You all have your farms. You all ensure that students and families get the help and tools that they need to be successful, not only now, but for the rest of their lives.
That's a huge part of the mission. So there are a lot of foster care youth in Kansas City and all through the surrounding states and regions that need quite a bit of support and help. And I think part of how we judge a community or our city, the soul of a place like Kansas City, and whether it's a space we could take pride in, is how we take care of our youth, our elderly. And so these foster care kids, spaces like Cornerstones of Care or nonprofits like Cornerstones of Care and a lot of our great partners, how we rally and help provide training for foster care families, for those individuals that are interested in fostering or adopting youth, how we provide services to those youth to help them find a place in our city, a place where they can thrive, spaces where they can be safe and loved. I think that work is very, very critical. And unfortunately, the need is gigantic. And so we do a lot of different strategies, and we find lots of ways in which we can approach this need. But we constantly are finding ourselves needing to find new partners and needing more help and support, which includes opportunities like this to come and speak about this. I mean, it is, I think, something a lot of Kansas Cityans don't think about, that there is this very large population of youth that are out there and are really needing help and services.
Many of your youth come from are living in areas where there are food insecure households. Can you explain to our listeners what that is and how you all help them to alleviate this terrible problem.
Yeah, so this is kind of, Cornerstones of Care does a lot of things, but my little pocket, my little world in there, my body of programming, is we run these youth empowerment farming programs. And so I am pretty grateful to where I know and work personally with a lot of really amazing young men and women. They are my young farmers, and so they help design these farm sites, build these farm sites. These are kids in our foster care residential programs. These are kids in our day treatment school programs, which is contracted with the public schools. But I have this pool of about 150 to 200 kids that myself and my team will see during a given week. And they come out to these farm sites. They help build and create them. If you come visit us and you see a raised bed, or you see our wind turbine tower, if you see our market cart, all of that, the kids created. And so the food that's produced, and we produce a decent bit right now, but we're about to do a huge expansion where we'll have about 3 acres in cultivation. All of that food goes into the community, with our kids being the distribution mechanism. So they are the force that bring, whether it's the fresh salsa that they just made in the outdoor kitchen, whether it's tomatoes that they just harvested and cleaned, or collard greens or kale, they're the ones that bag it, clean it, and then give it to the neighborhoods and the communities where they think it'll do the most good. And it's up to them where the produce goes. They are the young farmers. They are the force behind it. So they decide where the food goes.
You had an amazing stat when I was doing some research that 90% of your day treatment students surveyed would like the opportunity to take fresh fruits and vegetables home with them.
Yeah, last year we did that survey, and we're doing follow-up surveys constantly. When you're talking about real youth empowerment, you have to even the basic things that, like, what are you planting that season? That's up to the kids. And so we do those surveys quite a bit just to figure out what they'd like to eat, what they'd like to grow, and, you know, do they even want to? Do they want this food? That survey showed pretty overwhelmingly that our youth did want to grow, and what they wanted to grow was, you know, more than just strawberries and blackberries and, you know, the obvious ones, but, you know, they checked off, you know, they wanted carrots and peas and collard greens, and they wanted kale, believe it or not. Kale is becoming popular with these surveys. We can kind of track the trends on veggies and who likes what. And so I've been seeing the rise of kale, which has been kind of funny. 5 years ago, nobody wanted it. Now a lot of my kids do.
Now it's like the hot vegetable of the year, right? Yeah, now. You can't keep it in stock.
And they'll have a grandma who's juicing, or they'll have a neighbor lady who's making kale chips, and I think that's kind of driving it. And that's, you know, and when these kids want to take food home, when my young men and women want to take food home, a lot of times, you know, it might not, you know, it might be for their foster mom, it might be for their uncle, it might be for, you know, the old lady next door. And what we're finding too is if we send, you know, 20 pounds of something or 15 pounds of something to the right house, so that, you know, so I have kids who come back and they're like, yeah, no, I brought it to this person. And, you know, and you start asking, well, you know, how many who enjoyed it and what'd you do? You know, they start talking about meals where there were 10, 15 people at the table. So it wasn't just feeding their direct family or them and their sister or brother, though that's epic. But there are places where if this food goes, they invite the neighbor kids over, they invite the extended family. And so as far as the distribution network, what we're finding is by sending it with these kids, it ends up feeding a lot of people.
That is wonderful, because I know hunger knows no bounds, and a student who is hungry cannot learn because he's worried about the pain in his stomach, so he can't turn around and concentrate on what and focus on what he's supposed to be learning. And this is just amazing. But one of the unique things about your program is that, as you said, you're not just giving them skills right now. You're giving them lifelong skills, because they get to determine what they want to grow. If they sell it at market, then the money goes back to them. So it's not just a program so that when they may age out of a foster care system at 18, they're going to have skills that they know now how to grow something, how to run a business that's going to help them for the rest of their life.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. So I think too often kids start to feel disengaged or sort of lose hope because they sort of feel like there's only one trajectory to success. And so a lot of my youth who've been bounced around from family to family, who've suffered struggles that you know, thankfully most kids never face. I mean, I have some very tough, very resilient, very intelligent kids with a lot of potential. But we got to find spaces and pathways where they can feel like they can be successful and rock it and go out into the world and really have a place. And sometimes it's not the traditional, you know, sit at a desk, turn to page 20, get ready for the test. All of that is absolutely critical. And, you know, we do emphasize that with our youth, but we also want them to fall in love with cooking and all of the career opportunities that represents. We want them to know the basics of how to use tools and how to work outside or inside, carpentry, landscaping. You know, all of these things are thriving industries. They're potential future careers for my young men and women. And if I do have someone, we're say they're behind on their reading skills, they're behind on their math skills, we want to make sure that there are skilled trades that they can fall back on. So they have time and they have resources to catch up on those things. And so when they hit 18 and they're out in the big bad world, we just want to make sure they have as many tools in their toolbox, so to speak, as we can give them. Because that's how, you know, through that is how we can make them more resilient and have a better chance to be full citizens in Kansas City.
I want to give our listeners some really horrible stats. In our community this year, 250 students will age out of the foster care system. 50% will be unemployed, so that's 125 that's going to be unemployed. So 33% of those will need public assistance. 25% of those will become incarcerated. 27% will become homeless. Only 10% of the youth will attempt college, so that's 25. And of that 25, only 3 will graduate.
So when you hear stats like that, what that's really speaking to is a failure of the systems. And by systems, I don't mean the foster care system. I don't mean the public school system. I mean our system as a city. And so how we approach these youth, the resources and strategies we implement to help these kids, that's a big flag, a big indicator that we need to come together to figure out new ways and ways to change, and so that these kids can be more resilient, more successful, and healthier. We know that part of the issue is with trauma history and what that does to the human brain, and there's this thing called the ACE score, and so the more trauma that you face, the more adversity you face in childhood has a direct effect on everything from your, you know, if you get diabetes, if you incarceration, it's across the board, your chances of becoming addicted to drugs and alcohol. And so what Cornerstones of Care and a lot of my work right now is focused on is being very real about these realities, and then really working with our kids, like I said, to give them strong skill trades so that can lead to jobs, which can lead to rent money, which can lead to the ability to take care of themselves and others. Be very real about what whole health looks like, so we're not just focusing on, you know, physical health, so what's your BMI or what did you have for breakfast, but also mental health and community health and environmental health and how all those things fit together. And so and then really, really working with our kids in a trauma-informed caring environment and doing everything we can to connect them with communities and relationships so they understand what it is to build a healthy relationship and be part of a strong community. And if they are seeing a lack or a need, that they can be the force to create that. So giving them purpose. And part of empowerment is also a lot of times my kids, what I notice is they sort of, you know, after a while, if you're being disenfranchised and disempowered and you're being told that, you know, that you're not capable, well, you start feeding into that. You start buying into that. And so creating as many models like the FAR program as we can, where we say, no, you are capable, you are powerful, I trust you, and I know you can create and do this. And then when we build a shed, that's a physical entity, that's a thing that they can look at and go, whoa, I built that. You know, I changed the landscape. Experiences like this, we believe and we're hoping can be those things that can start tipping tipping things so that those statistics aren't so bleak. And so we have more success stories and more of my young men and women who, you know, maybe it's a Facebook Messenger message, maybe it's a letter in the mail, maybe it's an email on our, you know, but when they reconnect with me, and they do, I'm hearing that, you know, I landed that job, I'm happy, I have a family that cares about me. And the reality is, I mean, it's when they turn 18 and they go out there, the statistics also speak to the fact that it's not, they don't just disappear. You know, you're going to see them. They're going to be out. They're going to, and how you see them affects our whole city. And so, you know, is it another sad story that, or is it a success story? You know, is it the chef at the restaurant that's cooking your meal, and or the carpenter that just built you something amazing to improve your home, or yeah, is it another one of those?
Just one of those things that sometimes they just go into a hole and someone just crawl away and you don't see them ever again.
Yeah.
But the great work that you're doing does not happen without a lot of great Kansas Cityans. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith, his foundation is one of your partners. And his quote was, he said, when he was 18, he was heading off to college. He had the support of his family, coaches, and the scholarship. He couldn't imagine how he could expect foster teens to be successful when they have to say to them, you're 18 now, you're cutting you off, and you're out of the system, and go make it on your own. Without generous backing from people in the city, programs, I know you've got a fundraiser coming up. It's tomorrow night, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell listeners a little bit about it and how it will impact you all's mission?
Yeah, definitely. So tomorrow at the Beer Station, and it's going to go from about 4:30 to 11:30. And the Beer Station is right on Gregory Street off of like Warnell Road. But we're going to have a party. And so it's hosted by Beer Station, also Odell Brewing Company. They're going to do a total tap takeover. So we'll have a bunch of Odell beer on tap. And Odell is an amazing brewery. We're going to have live bluegrass music. There'll be hay bales and rototillers. There's going to be a bag toss competition. It's a great way to kind of learn more about what we're doing, and specifically learn more about what we're doing with the youth empowerment and farming programs. I'll have a lot of my team on there to greet and meet everybody. I'll be there to talk, to answer any questions. We'll do kind of a short public talk about what we're up to. So if you'd like to learn more, it's a great opportunity. If you want to just come and celebrate, have a beer, listen to some great music, all of the money generated helps support this program directly. So we can expand our farming, plant new orchards. We're currently working on a really amazing, we're calling it the Healthy You, Healthy Earth Design Center. So we're trying to get funding and support for that. Which will be a DIY library and computers with Google SketchUp Pro and everything that they need to create proposals and write invoices and do the things they do if they were, you know,
running a full business.
Yeah, running a full business. If they were a contractor out there, you know, putting together landscaping bids, right? So we want to, so this fundraiser will help all those initiatives and then just help us create a strong, vibrant community for these kids.
Now, that fundraiser is just one part, but I know there are other ways that people can assist and volunteer with the organization. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that? The day-to-day things, you know, being a tutor, being a mentor, just being there and helping the children. How can volunteers get tapped into that, and what are your needs right now?
Definitely. So there are lots and lots of ways that people can get involved. We have everything from reading buddies, where you come and read with some of our school children, to mentoring and volunteering with our residential programs, where you would come on to the campuses and, you know, do anything from play basketball with the kids to help out with one of the farming programs, which, you know, would be growing these fruits and vegetables alongside some of our young farmers so that those programs are successful. We're always doing donation drives. We have a lot of young men and women in our care. We have a lot of families that we support. And so helping us get everything from deodorant to, you know, laundry detergent to shampoos. And so there's always things that we're putting out through our website that are calls for help and support. And so going to the website is a great kind of one-stop shop for everything that you'd want to know and any way that you can support.
What is that website? What is that website?
Oh yeah, that's probably important. Cornerstonesofcare.org. So really easy, just our name, cornerstonesofcare.org. And so if you go on that website, then there's also links to all of our different programs too. So the farming, the healthy living and food systems program is what it's called. But our farms program has its own page there. So you can learn more about that.
One of the, having navigated to your webpage, one of the things that I saw a way people to get involved was the birthday club.
Yeah. So the birthday club is great. And for these celebratory moments in a youth's life, so birthdays, Christmas, you know, it takes, you know, I think for any family with kids, you know, it takes planning and it takes money. And so these kids can be properly celebrated like any child. We're always looking for folks who are down to join and help make. It could be making birthday cakes or donating birthday cakes. It could be helping us with present drives. So that way we really can make sure that every kid in our care has a good birthday.
And that means so much. It's just that one, you know, they're made to feel special that one day per year. They're special all the time, but on that day, it's the community coming together to help them and show them that they're loved and they are special.
Yep, exactly. And that's something that especially I think our youth really need to feel sometimes.
Yes, definitely. So you've got this event coming up. You're doing great and amazing work with kids. What else? You know, we talked to, you said one of the things you had some wheelchair beds and you had some individuals that out mentoring with the students. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that?
So I am really in love with this initiative right now. And it's, so there's a gentleman named Farmer Brown, or Mr. Brown. He likes me to call him Farmer Brown because he's a good farmer. But he's an older gentleman that lives at Armor Oaks Senior Living Center, which shares a campus with with Gillis, where there's a big residential program with 40 young men and women that live there, about 100 kids that come in for day treatment. So Farmer Brown lives in a house with Mrs. Brown right next to our residential unit for our older kids. And Farmer Brown started coming out to our main farm site and orchard and talking with us and just sharing recipes for, you know, anything we might be growing and giving tips. And so my kids and I formed a relationship with him. And then Farmer Brown, you know, he's an older gentleman. He could use some help with his garden. And so my kids wanted to go help. And it's youth empowerment. So they generate the ideas. They go, hey, you know, Mr. Theo, we'd like to do this. And then it's just finding a way how. So with Farmer Brown was talking to the kids and I, and he was saying how there's a lot of folks in wheelchairs at Armor Oaks that have gardened their whole lives, but now are no longer able to because they can't get low to the ground. So my kids came up with the idea of building these raised planters. So that way the elders at Armor Oaks can continue to garden and garden with them. And so Farmer Brown and the kids designed the initiative. And so we started breaking ground on a new space for gardening with the elders at Armor Oaks about a month ago. And it's going really well. The kids are really excited about it. Farmer Brown's really excited about it. And I think it's going to be a really cool new chapter on the Gillis campus.
One of the things, well, a couple things. I want you to tell your listeners about your train car, but when you all have people that contract and work with your organization, you do something unique that you have them work with the kids, and so the kids get exposure to different opportunities. Can you speak a little bit about that?
So I think this is really critical, and it speaks to, you know, and part of where all our organizations at Cornerstones of Care came together, so Gillis, Ozanam, and Marillac, that initial merging was because we believe we are stronger together and we're going to be able to better serve Kansas City. Beyond that, when I started some of these programs with my kids, we wanted to kind of carry that philosophy. So we started reaching out to all these other nonprofits, these big hitters, these big players that deal with food insecurity, youth empowerment, that are really doing incredible things with our community. And so that's Cultivate Kansas City, Boys Grow, Kansas City Community Gardens, Giving Grove, Episcopal Community Services, KC Healthy Kids. We just recently started talking to the University of Missouri Extension Services. So that's 4-H, the Master Gardeners Program. I mean, these are big players, and they're really good at what they do. And I have no interest in us all doing our thing in our little section of the city, and not, you know, it's healthier and it's stronger if we collaborate and we communicate. And so our level of partnership has reached a point that with some of these nonprofits, we're doing shared employees. So I contract with them for talent. They come in, and then that becomes part of the fabric of what we're doing then with Cornerstones of Care, that cross-pollination of ideas and strategies. And then my numbers and my information, you know, is shared with them and vice versa. And so we're able to form much better ways of working with these kids, combining all of our nonprofits' expertise and history of work. It's really exciting. And what's generated from having a shared employee with Boys Grow and a shared employee with Episcopal Community Services is way beyond what I was initially planning, which is why you collaborate, right? It becomes bigger than you and more exactly. powerful. It
becomes bigger and becomes something that takes on a body and a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
So again, tell our listeners as we come to a close, tell them all night about your event again, and if they need more information, where they can get that information.
So the event again is at Beer Station, which is on Gregory. Awesome place, and it's going to be from 4 to 11:30 tomorrow. So this Friday, there'll be bluegrass. There'll be Odell Brewery doing a taps takeover. All of the you know, so myself and my team will be there to talk with if you'd like to get involved. To find more information on it, you can go to cornerstonesofcare.org. We also have a Facebook event. If you go to Beer Station's Facebook, you'll see the event page. So I hope to see a lot of people there supporting. I hope to meet a lot of people that are interested in helping our kids and getting involved in the farming initiative or anything that we do through Cornerstones of Care. And yeah, it should be a lot of fun. You got to celebrate. That's part of community. You work hard and then you play hard. And that's what tomorrow's about.
You have a train on your campus out there. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the train and what the plans are for the train?
I love talking about the train. So there is a big red train caboose from 1930 that is on our Ozanam campus. And this train caboose has been pretty unused for about 10 years now. It's just kind of sitting there. It's already on the campus. It's like right as you go in through the main drive, and it's right there. And it's beautiful. It's really kind of a testament to human ingenuity. And so the kids and I were looking at it, and we really needed a space. We've needed a space for a while now where we could get together and design projects and really take things to the next level. So that's the DIY library I talked about, the computers where they can design proposals, and so we really are thinking of this train as the future brain for all of our operations, right? And so we're doing a full renovation. My teenagers, my young men and women at the Ozanam campus are the ones doing that renovation, along with a lot of really great local contractors, include Missouri Insulation and Spray Foam, or Missouri Valley Insulation and Spray Foam, that donated all their time and services. And so coming in and doing a full rehab on this thing. And so my kids are learning how to refinish floors. They're learning carpentry. They're learning electrical. They're anything to get this thing up and going. So they are building in this old train caboose a design center that then will be, like I said, the brains of the operation and design and build the next exciting thing to help not just them, but hopefully the larger of KC.
It's a great project. So it's definitely something that if you have talents and you have skills, or you just want to volunteer with the students, come out and be a mentor at Cornerstones of Care. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. So we definitely want to talk. We want to see people definitely attend your event, but also begin to mentor and become volunteers with the organization. On this Saturday, Total Man is having a festival from the 3,000 block to the 3,100 block of East 31st Street. This is their fifth year. They do healthy living. They do different types of there's a community garden walk. It starts at 9:30. And it's just basically, if you've never been to a street fair, it's a two-block street fair. They have blow-ups, and it's all free for the community. So that's something to definitely look at coming out to this Saturday, September the 9th, from 11 to 3. The garden walk will start at 9:30 a.m., and if you need more information, you can call the Total Man CDC at 800-825-0490 or email totalmancdc@gmail.com. And also, America's Best Homeownership Program, NACA, is having a relief effort for the victims of the hurricane in Houston. So NACA is America's best mortgage, no down payment, no closing cost. and they don't use your traditional credit score. So they're definitely looking at trying to help those, because many of those in Houston did not have flood insurance. They were the ones who were most vulnerable. So the Kansas City office is doing a drive. So if you're interested, the address is 100 East 43rd Street. Give them a call. But for this week, we've run out of time. So for former Theo, for myself, I want to thank you for coming on. Join us next week where we'll be talking about the Nile Valley Aquaponics Project. This run by Dre Taylor and Male to Men's Organization. Cowtown Conversations, I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great day and go Chiefs.